Make more birdies.
A bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice.
This is not a tip. This is a prescription. Trust me. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you will fall out of bounds.
Welcome to Birdies and Bourbon. Sit down and have a sip.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Birdies and Bourbon Show. So we're going to have a fun chat. We're going to go from kind of analog, and we're going to venture back over. You probably couldn't see that. Let me get a little closer. We're going to go from analog, and then we're going to get into to the digital world with president and co-founder of Golf Logix, Pete Charleston. Pete, thanks for taking some time to get on the show with us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, happy to be on, especially with some bourbon drinkers there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, we can't, we wished a good show if we didn't have a sip. So pretty cool, man. Thanks for hooking us up with a couple of greens books. So I think you're in Scottsdale, so you're probably familiar with the Silver Leaf Club.
Of course.
And some friends of the show at Sweetens Cove Golf Club, the little nine-hole course that could. So looking forward to getting to both of these courses with the green books, and we'll get into that in a little bit, kind of the why the green book, how did it come about. You guys started, I believe, in 1999-ish. But instead of me going through the bio, you want to share a little about Pete Charleston and Golf Logix?
Sure. We, my partner and I started this way back in 99. So we are grizzled golf industry veterans. And I was a basketball player. I played in college, and you know, I never picked up a golf club. I was like, who plays golf? I don't even know anybody that plays golf. And moved a business down here to Scottsdale, and of course everybody plays golf. So I'm like, all right, let me check out this sport. And of course, you know, I was horrible and mad and frustrated, and we started playing a little bit and obviously got hooked. And you know, we were like, you know, how come people don't help you track how far you hit clubs? How come we'd seen the first, you know, cart mounted GPS systems? We're like, how come they don't have anything that's, you know, portable if you're walking or, you know, what have you. And ultimately we became the first company to launch a handheld GPS device, you know, for golf. And we worked with Garmin, and we piggybacked on one of the original Garmin devices in 2000, when if you said GPS, people didn't even know what it stood for.
Sure.
It wasn't in the cars yet. It was very, very early. But ultimately, we wrote the software and we started selling direct to the golf courses. And, you know, it was actually illegal, according to the rules of golf, to use GPS back at that point. So we tried to sell through the golf course. And, you know, ultimately, the USGA changed their stance in 06, at the beginning of 06. And we said, oh, boy, here we go. Let's go to retail. So we went back to our investors and raised a bit more money and came out and launched and really successful. And on the retail side, it was really us and Skycaddy back then. And we were in every major retail outlet. We had Costas and McCord. We were doing those half hour infomercials literally twice a day on the Golf Channel, and super, super fun times. And, you know, as the economy hit that big meltdown in kind of, you know, mid 08, we're like, boy, you know, we started looking for alternative sources. Like, God, you know, people are going to keep paying, you know, all this money for these devices. And as luck would have it, the first phone started coming out with GPS on board and allowed apps. And it was BlackBerry of all phones, which are, they're barely around now, but they came out with this phone, and we're like, boy. So we went back to our investors and we said, hey, I think this is the move. I mean, why would someone buy a device when you can put it on something they carry with them at all times? So we made a huge pivot. And we're the first company to launch on, you know, on the smartphones. And, you know, since then we've picked up over 5 million users, and, you know, we're constantly tweaking and changing and pivoting and trying to create a better, easy, fast, and fun, experience out there on the golf course.
Nice.
Well, from talking, you know, when you're going back to your investors and it's like, hey, I'm back again, right? I mean, you know, if you're looking at that kind of setup, right, sometimes you get people cringing. But, you know, I would say the fast pace, right, from what you were doing, I mean, it sounds like you never really moved from the vision, right, was to be able to give the individual that handheld device, if you will, to be able to have it on their person at all time. So how are they going to say no, right? Hey, this worked. It's when did you take them something that didn't work? That's a rhetorical question. Don't have to answer that. But again, I mean, you're coming, you're bringing these forward looking or thinking ideas, right? And now fast forward to 22 years later, and not to talk about rangefinders, but it's just going to kind of go to show how advanced and how far things are going to get to. The caddies are using rangefinders on the golf course, and it's not to mix one with the other, but just from your point of view, right? I mean, it's being forward looking in a sport that's antiquated may not be a fair word to use, but definitely kind of set in tradition and structure, and you don't really deviate from that. And I think as, even as amateur golfers, right, I mean, we've all seen the advances, technologies, et cetera, that's kind of moved through the golf world. And yourself as an entrepreneur, I mean, you've seen it firsthand as being, a leader in that environment. So much appreciated. I'd like to say it's helped my game. It's made decision-making a lot easier for me to still not talk about my handicap while we're recording, but at least it's given me some free time to do other extracurricular activities on the golf course instead of worrying about how far I'm gonna hit the ball. Yeah, so let's. I'm going to kind of move through, and we've got. And I don't know. Do you guys still sell handheld solo devices anymore? I didn't see anything.
No.
Yeah. So it's all on top of your hand, right?
Yeah. For a couple years after, in kind of 2009 and a little bit towards the end of 2010, we did sell some devices. And ultimately, we were so successful in this smartphone space, we said, let's get out of this hardware business. Let's be a software company. That's what we wanted to be anyway. And, it really paid off. And, ironically, as we'll discuss, we kind of went, we went backwards here a little bit and with these green books and went back to, a hard book,
Yeah.
It's a pretty funny transition.
Which is, I think there's, I think there's probably, depending on, how serious you are about your game and what you're really trying to do. I mean, I think there's a place for both, right? I mean, these, I kind of see these, the green books from a standpoint of, hey, am I taking notes? Am I playing the same golf course enough times that, I need to start to mark stuff? And I don't know if it was I forget which article I was reading, but, it was talking about, and we won't talk about the tournament that's happening this week, but it was talking about an amateur golfer compared to a professional golfer, and as amateurs, we tend to want to know where the flag's at, versus the professional golfer, it's like, tell me where the front of the green is, and then they start their calculation, right? It's never, okay, tell me how far I am from the flag. It's how far am I to the front of the green? And then, again, from the green book standpoint, right? I mean, we're opening this up and it's like, okay, I know where the pin placement is. And now I'm looking at, okay, how many paces am I on? How many paces am I from the left or right? So, and you've got a cool slogan on the back, right? Make more putts. And I mean, that's kind of where, from your, you saying you wanted to be a software company. Well, I kind of hear that, from a golfer's perspective, as you wanted to be able to establish a database where I could keep track of those stats to be able to better manage my game is what I'm hearing. That's the long-winded version for saying we wanted to be a golf technology company.
Yeah, well, 100%. And so you back up, and I mentioned earlier, we're always trying to, reinvest and come out with these new, cool, crazy, great features that'll help golfers play better golf. And, one of these features was, when we go back to like 2015, 2016, we started seeing these tour players pull these things out in the green. Well, no one knew what they were. It was relatively new. We didn't know what they were. And, it took us a while. We finally, we're able to look at one. We're like, wow, they are basically taking the green contours and they're laying them out and they're basically putting arrows on the green to help people understand what this green does. I'm like, this is amazing. Let's do this for the amateur golfer. Well, it took us about 2 years to figure it out, but we put it in our app, of course, right? Because we're an app company, and we launched it and obviously went through a lot of different revisions trying to make it easier and easier to use. And in that process, we actually got a lot of feedback from our members saying, I love your app. I use it off the tee box. I track all my stats. I use it for all these many things. But some people don't like taking the phone to the green. And they said, can't I have a hard copy? I'm like, yeah, hard copy, you know, books, paper, like who does that anymore, right? Sure. And they kept coming, like they just kept coming and coming. And so, you know, we're like, all right. So we kept playing around with it. And finally we went to our board and it's like, gentlemen, you know, this is, and they're like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, you know, who wants paper? And I'm like, no, I mean, it's a thing. So we're like, we all agreed, let's test it. So we bought a Costco printer, you know, we kind of put this data together and make this little crappy little book, you know, all taped together and stapled. And, you know, we took it out to my club here in Arizona Country Club. And I put it in a few people's hands and it was immediate. People were like, oh my God, I've wanted one of these all my life. Like I've tried to draw, I've drawn on things, but the arrow, you know, it's just my notes. So, I mean, you saw the look in their eyes, and because it was in their pocket, it was just, cause you don't need it maybe on every putt, but when you need it, you need it.
Sure.
And it was really cool. I'm like, okay. So we got a little more serious and bought a little better printer and made a few more and sent it some clubs around the country. And I mean, the feedback was immediate. And, you know, a lot of clubs that don't allow phones, like there were just so many places where it was a great fit. And so we got real serious real quick and we built an entire printing operation, and every one of these books are custom made. When someone goes either to their golf course, they've ordered them, or they go on to our, to golflogic.com and search for their course. We have an e-commerce site and we make them to order within 24 hours and we ship them out directly to the customer. So it's just been really fun. It's been, we launched in May of last year. So almost a year we've had these out.
Yeah, I can see how you're going to someone and it's like, hey, we're, you know, here's what we're doing with technology, technology, technology. And it's like, yeah, and now we're going to hand somebody a booklet of, you know, a ream of paper. And it's like, wait a minute, yeah. you just like took us back 15 years, man. What are you talking about? Right.
It was amazing. I can't remember who said it, but I was on an interview at some point and you know, the host says, it's kind of like going back to the future. It's like, you know, the data that we have in that book is so high tech. Like I can't even describe to you. I mean, this stuff wasn't available 20 years ago. Like you sure. couldn't measure the greens like this. I mean, this is 3 centimeter accuracy. You know, the stuff that they're shooting this with is just ridiculous. And yet, you know, here it sits, you know, on this little book on this, you know, piece of paper with 18 holes on it. And, but that the amount of data that's there for you as a golfer is it's game changing. Like I'm a good putter, and it goes back to my basketball. I you know, distance makes sense to me because I shoot, right. Like it's a 5 foot, 10 foot. So I don't have to think, my muscle just does it. But because I didn't grow up playing golf, I am a terrible green reader. You get a few cocktails. I mean, maybe I'm a little better, but I mean, I'm just not very good at reading greens. So when I play with a caddy, if I have the luxury of playing with a caddy, I'm a really good putter. Cause the caddy says, sure. Hey Pete, what I want you to do is, you know, this is a left, right putt. I'm like, I don't care. Just tell me where to putt the ball to. Here's the right. cup. Great. You know, sure. And I'm like, and I just step up and I hit it. So this book is like having that caddy in your back pocket every time you play going, you know, hey guys, you know, this thing goes slightly left or right, or the cup's here, or however you think when you putt. But what we've solved is with 100% certainty, the putt is going left or right, or the putt is going uphill or downhill. And just with those two data points, and you showed the book, like, you know, make more putts. If it was up to me, they wouldn't let me put it because they want to put a negative on there. I was saying, make less 3 putts. That's what I wanted to say.
I mean, fair statement. Really, I mean, just imagine if you just erase 3 putts from your scorecard, it's, you know, ridiculous. Yeah.
And your mental well-being. Like, well, I think we're all good for 1 3-putt because sometimes we have that hard putt. Sure. But the minute you get your second 3-putt, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a disaster. I start thinking about it, and I'm like, I'm plumb bobbing. I'm walking the right and left, and, you know, my brain's done. Mm-hmm. But
it's like, am I going pencil back, grip, claw grip, left arm, left hand down? What do I need to do different on this one, right?
Oh, then my buddies are like, press, press, press. You know, everybody knows it. When people start struggling on the putting green, it generally causes more three putts. So, you know, I can't sit here and tell you, depending on the level of golfer, anybody that's listening, is that you're going to make more putts. You know, the odds are that you probably will, but the reality is you're going to make a lot more two putts, and your confidence is it's next level. And we did a bunch of, focus testing, right? So I had my plus golfers and scratch golfers, and I had my, you know, 5, 6, 7 handicaps, and then we picked some 10s and we picked some 15s, 18s, whatever. And it was different with everybody on their reaction. But I think what was most surprising to me is when I took out this group, it was two pluses and a scratch. And the one plus never played my course before, shot a kind of a ho-hum 68. And I said, what do you think? Did you, the book help you? He goes, it saved me 3 strokes. And I was like, geez, I mean, this guy's a plus golfer. I just saved him 3 strokes. Like that was kind of cool to hear. And I was like, oh, it just gave you a better read. He goes, no. He goes, one of them I misread. He goes, but 2 of them, it confirmed that I was right. And I putted with confidence. Oh,
there you go.
And then, like, that was a really cool, it kind of gave me goosebumps. Cause I was like, oh, you're right. Like, this isn't maybe necessarily about making more putts, but it's about putting with more confidence. And when you know that you're at the very least, and sometimes you there's an art to reading. Is it a left edge, a ball, a cup, or 4 feet? Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to read the book, but at the very least, you're not putting the wrong side of the hole.
Sure.
And that's huge.
Yeah, makes complete sense. And I guess I've used them from time to time, not to this degree. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to employing this, which brings me to my next question. I did see you've got over 14,000 golf courses or somewhere in that number, maybe it's north of that you've already got mapped. I took a look at Atlanta, the courses which is where I live and of what you have mapped on there. And you've got a handful, half a dozen plus, I believe. So if I'm at my home course and I don't see it on golflogix.com, how do I get Pete to build my book for me?
So in the, on golflogix.com, it actually gives you a spot. Like if you search for a course and it doesn't pull up, it says request this course. And so as these course requests come in, we prioritize them based on how many times we get pinged on a certain course and we move up in the queue and, we do it as fast as we can. You know, one of the challenges is, we courses change. You know, we get a course mapped and then the dreaded, oh yeah, we changed green number 14 and number 12, and we're like, ugh, and it's it's really frustrating. So we're in the process, and it's a lot of work to be able to get this data. So I'm actually doing a test tomorrow morning on a new piece of equipment that is portable, that's really quick and easy and would be a great fix for properties where we already mapped it, we already spent the time and money, we've got it done, and they made a change. Got so it. We're I'm hoping this works, and it's this cool portable solution. The first device we used was ridiculous. It took 4 suitcases full of junk, and you had to ship it out ahead of time. I mean, it was just very difficult and not conducive to mapping in the type of quantities we're trying to map.
So is this from and I'm sure technology and all that's proprietary, so I'm not trying to go down that road, but if you're, you're going to a new, so you went to Silverleaf for the first time, or you mapped Silverleaf for the first time, right? Is that physically requiring you, the company to enter the property, and you're physically, I mean, I know the machine is doing it, but somebody's there manipulating it, or is it using, satellites, or what's the kind of that process of how it's mapping these things out?
There's a number of different ways, and we have to employ. There's drones, there's on-site visits, there's planes that actually have, and no satellite will do, at least not yet. Hopefully in the future it will, but they don't do this kind of measurement, using these crazy high-end cameras. And these are $250,000 cameras that basically are able to capture this elevation. They will see stuff. If you have something, if you set a beer can on the green, it's going to see that. It's pretty amazing what this technology has done for, the green contour side.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, if I'm looking at it again in layman's terms as I see it, I mean, it's a very finite topographic map of the green, essentially, is what I would kind of, in layman's terms, that's how I would frame it up.
It really is. And, you know, I always, you know, I'm always remiss to not talk about the approach shot. You know, we always get all caught up in putting and the green, and, you know, if you want to hold that back up again, where you see the on one of those books on Silverleaf, yeah, where you can show the heat map. And so the heat map, what it's done is it's taking the slope, right? So, you know, in this particular example, where you see the lower left there, when you're making your approach, if that pins, maybe, you know, they can't put a pin there. That's your 7-8 degree slope, but you've got to be real careful. If that pin's kind of a little bit lower left, kind of in the flatter part, you cannot go at that pin. Like if you go at that pin with a draw or any kind of a right to left, that ball's going off the green if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. So when, and you watch pros, I think you mentioned it earlier, this course management, these pros are looking at this stuff in the fairway. And, you know, Augusta, I mean, there's some great holes at Augusta where when they have those pin placements, the guys are going, I don't even look at the pin. I'm going in the middle of the green.
Right.
And every time you play, when you've got one of these green books, you ought to be thinking like that if you want to score better. You know, there are certain things that you see, you know, back left, you know, oh, there's a huge false front. You know, that pin's right there, but I need to be long, or let me take my lumps here and just go a little further right. And you can use even just the colors. You know, you don't even need to look at the arrows. You can use the colors and you can see, oh, wow, that's uphill or downhill, or it falls off, or you get it. You kind of get this sneak peek at, you could be 175 yards out. And, you know, it's funny because I don't use the approach quite as much. You know, I've played my course hundreds and hundreds of times. But every once in a while, I see some pin positions. I'm like, well, let me take a look at that. But if you're playing a course in a tournament, or, you know, going to a buddy's member guest, I mean, what a great gift, by the way, to show up at your buddy's member guest,
absolutely,
you know, with a couple of these books, like he's footing the bill for the thing and like, hey buddy, look at this. And you'll both be surprised at the amount of confidence you'll putt with in a pressure situation when you know you've got the read right.
That's
yeah. And pretty, I mean, again, pretty easy to read right. It's the red is bad, blue, green is really good. So it's pretty well, pretty self-explanatory, I think.
Here is the, like, this is the thing. And I always tell anybody that I'm playing with, when the ball and the cup, you know, when you've made your approach and you're up and you're walking up your putt and you look down and the ball and the cup are within a white, this is green, but certainly when it's in a white and blue area, that means no matter what, I don't care what your eyes tell you, your putt is not breaking outside the cup, period, period. And if you've done a good job and you've placed the ball in the cup, yep, I know, I'm pretty sure here, and they're both in this, you know, white and blue area, don't aim outside the cup. Worst thing, go inside right. And you'll be shocked. Like, and you hear tour players say it on tour. There's quotes, guys going, trust the book. Like, what? You know, they're mad because they second guessed what they saw because their eyes didn't tell them that. And, you know, they didn't make their putt. And I always laugh, you know, someone will go, well, how does it tell me, you know, like, you know, it break towards the valley. That's what everybody says here in Scottsdale. Or, oh, it break towards the water. Well, it does until it doesn't, you know, until the architect said, well, I'm going to play a trick on you and I'm going to tilt that green a little bit and it's not going to break that way. And what the book does is the book tells you, doesn't matter all the myth and everything they say, the book tells you what the green actually does.
Mm-hmm. That's what PB&I was talking about, Cal. That's how they design those things. They're trying to trick you.
It's all a trick.
And it's funny. I'll get guys that like, oh, I play this, I know this course really well. And they'll get like, see, and then you could hear them like going, I told you this putt breaks. Everybody thinks it breaks left, but look, you can totally see it. I told you it breaks right. You know, it's funny when people know their greens and they take a look and it just shows some of these bizarre, you know, 5 foot breakers, 8 foot breakers. And you're like, you can't, you know, it's really fun to see.
Yeah. It's, I'd like the, you said it right in Scottsdale. It's like everything breaks towards the valley. It's like, I'd like to have $1 for every time somebody tells you that when you're playing there for the first time, and you can give me $10 for when they don't say it. Because it is, it's just one of those things. It's just that's kind of the lingo. That's the introductory speech, right? Is everything breaks towards the valley.
Yeah, and by the way, sometimes you're in these little, wherever you are, you don't even know where the valley is. You're visiting.
There's a valley. So,
which direction is that? Yeah.
Yeah. So let me, I'm going to back up a little, or not back up, and just let me shift gears over to, so golflogix.com, you go and you want to get a membership with you guys, you set your profile up, and just a couple of questions. And there's some pretty neat things in there where you can keep track of, or you can enter, I guess, your stats as a golfer, right? So how far am I hitting driver, 3 wood, 7 iron, 8 iron, et cetera, right? You go through your clubs, and it may change from time to time, but generally speaking, you know, you're probably going to be pretty consistent there for some period of time, unless you change clubs or have some significant life experience that might change that for you. Does it also, is it recognized by USGA that I could keep a handicap on there that I can use in tournaments?
So we don't have that yet. Okay. There are a few companies that have it, but it's USGA has been relatively tight on allowing this license. And so you have to set up these clubs, and so it's just a little more work than it would be to to have your handicap through a local course or system here. But you know, it is, we have two versions in our app. Our app is, we have a compliant, so a tournament compliant version, similar like the slope on a rangefinder, that at the beginning of the round, when you're downloading the course, you can actually, select the USGA compliant mode, and it doesn't give you any features. And we went through the approval. It doesn't give you any features that the USGA wouldn't allow. Funny enough, one of the things that, is not allowed for tournament play that is kind of next level that, I just kind of tease our app here a little bit, but if you remember Tiger Woods golf, right? You know, you had the ability to it would read the putt for you.
Sure.
And it would tell you, 1 foot to the right and 6 inches short. Right.
Right.
And so we built that algorithm, into our app. So the book, it's amazing and it's traditional and you can use it in any tournament. That's also USGA compliant. But you turn the book, you pick your spot, and the art is on you to read the putt. In the app, basically you drop your finger on, I'm standing right here where my ball is, and you just kind of draw a line between you and that's where the cup is. You pick up your finger and you look at it. Oh yeah, that's perfect. Okay, boom, read my putt. And it runs
really?
A physics and calculates the perfect putt. So it'll tell you aim here, or it'll tell you in words and in visual. And it's really cool. And you can change the stimp. So if it's running a 12 versus an 8, you're going to see a drastic difference in what the perfect putt is.
And is that live now or is that coming?
Well, no, that's live. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and the cool thing about the Golf Logix app, and it's LOGIX, is you can go into the App Store under iOS, or you can go into the Android Play Store, and it's free download. And then we give you 2 free rounds to go out and play with all the features. And you can go out and use them and play with them. If it's for you, great. If it's not for you, as far as the upgrade, it's $49.99 a year. But and you get access to all the putting at every course, that we have around the country.
Yeah.
But if you don't choose to upgrade, you still get, you've got a nice 3D image of the hole. You get scoring and stats, and you get distances to the center of the green. So you still have a lot of cool features, and which we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that just use that. So it's certainly worth a try.
Very cool. Yeah.
It costs nothing to try. So why not? Yeah. I got a feeling when I test that out, I'm going to be swiping the card on you there. So
I might know a guy that can take care of you. So we'll see.
We'll see. But to your point, download it, use it. And I was using it at some point. I definitely was using it, and who knows why it's golf, right? So you kind of tinker around. It's like, I want to do this now, and I want to do that now, and I want to try this out or that out. But really, really, really cool stuff.
Hey guys, this is Matt King with Libra Sport Distillery. I'm the director of distillery operations here, and you're listening to Birdies and Bourbon.
So what's new, kind of upcoming? We got some personal, not personal, personal. We got some things we want to chat about you with. But so what's in the horizon for Golf Logic? Like what's the next Logix with an X? What's the next iteration? And I'm sure there's things that you can't tell us. But what do you see that's coming in the future that's going to blow us away as golfers and utilizing technology?
Sadly, we've been working on something for 2 years and we're just a little ahead of our time, and it's app based. And when it works, it's the coolest thing you've ever seen. And I don't want to talk to it yet because I can't. Yeah. We're just not there yet. We're pushing the technology of the phones.
Gotcha.
You know, but it makes the green reading experience just so ridiculously easy. I mean, it's you see it. It's just so, you know, you can. I'm frustrated because we've spent a tremendous amount of money on it, and it just not quite there yet. But it's close, and so hopefully next time we talk, I'm going to be like, we got it. Like
we're ready. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have been able to use it and we can talk about it at that point. So, you know, so when you need your, new testers, for the trial run, you know, our lips are sealed. So, you know, there we go.
Nice.
They're called beta testers.
That's right. Beta testers.
Yep. It's us. That is us. A non-professional opinion, for the amateur golfer. Here's why you need this. We're absolutely in. So what did we, I want to talk a little about Pete Charleston. You kind of shared with us about, you know, you play basketball and such, but what did we miss on Golf Logix? And we'll circle back around, I'm sure, at the end. Did we miss anything before we get into what Pete's into out in Scottsdale and where you're playing at? I know you said, Scottsdale Country Club, I believe. Arizona Country Club, excuse me. Arizona.
I was fortunate enough to get asked to be a member of the Thunderbirds, the charitable organization here that runs the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And I mean, it is a crazy event. Anybody that hasn't made it out here, especially post COVID now, last year was a little light for us, but, you know, Saturday alone, we'll have 200,000 fans, and it's run by, you know, this group of people. We've been around since 1937, and you know, we raise millions and millions and millions of dollars every year, and we give to the local Phoenix, generally local Phoenix children's charities, and really support the local Phoenix community. So it's a super fun event. Love to have you guys out. It sounds like, I think you mentioned you might have gone, but
that's one of those events that if you've ever been or if you haven't been, either way, once you go, it's a place that you'll always want to go back to. And just speaking of the Thunderbirds, so my aunt and uncle live in Scottsdale, and you know, I've had the opportunity to go a few times, and it is the Thunderbirds. They, you know, a hell of a job out there, in the event itself, but you know, more importantly, I think, is on the charity side on the back end. And what you're really, you're there to put on a good event for the players and you know, all the folks that show up to watch golf. But I mean, what you all are doing on the back end year round, right? It's not like hey, we're here this week and we're done. I mean, the Thunderbirds is not hey, I'm showing up this week and you know, get my card punched and we're moving on. I mean, it's an ongoing progressive group that's definitely helping out a great charity.
Yeah, so that's it on me and Golf Logix. No, it's a fun company, fun product, and you know, everybody can learn a lot more, obviously, at golflogix.com.
Very cool.
Yeah. So where, if you're not playing at Arizona Country Club, where are you playing at? And it doesn't have to be in Scottsdale.
Yeah. You know, I'm all over the place. You know, obviously, this last year was a little depressing. There weren't a lot of guys golf trips. I did sneak off to Bandon once and played the new Sheep's Ranch there. That was fun. The wind was a little tough on my game, but really, really enjoyed that. I'm kind of all over. I'm from Seattle, so I get up there and you know, get a little play a little bit. And you know, if I'm fortunate enough, I love going out to the Pebble area, Carmel.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
it's some fun golf out there. Go down to Cabo a bit. So yeah, those are kind of my little sweet spots.
Okay, nice. What about for, so if I'm heading to Scottsdale, maybe first time, maybe not. What's, you know, I'm coming out for a golf weekend. I don't know, maybe with my partner, she and I be maybe going, maybe coming with a guy's trip. And it may be different courses, so you can focus on one, but, one of those setups. But what courses are you recommending that I play out in Scottsdale on my guy's trip out?
You've got to play Greyhawk. Greyhawk's got 36 holes. It's just so well run. I mean, the pro shot, they've got it dialed in. They've got great, they're playing music on the range. I mean, it just,
oh, nice.
The refreshments everywhere. The cart girls are great. I mean, just everything about the property is just first class. So, highly recommend that. You know, it's, if depending on the time of year you come out, I would play TPC Stadium. But you want to come out when the structure's up, and yeah, you will be shocked. I mean, just you walk through that damn tunnel, and there ain't nobody in the stands but a couple of construction workers,
right?
And your hands are shaking. You know, when you play hole 16, I mean, it is a benign. You've got a wedge in your hand. You're maybe a 9-iron, depending on what tees you're playing. This is not a tough hole. I mean, the green's a little slopey, got some bunkers, but you put that stadium on it. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm watching guys yank it and like pull it in the bleachers. And it's, so it's definitely, usually the structure starts, it's usually up enough by kind of early November, late October, usually okay. The structure's up. And then, you know, it generally takes about a month to come down after the event. So, you know, kind of the end of February.
Very
would
cool.
be the time you get to
the ideal time to visit Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Shocker. My favorite's May spring training, and the weather just a little bit warmer. It's more in that kind of 80, 85 degree range, and it's just heaven.
Mm. Yeah. So I wasn't paying attention. Did spring training happen in Arizona this year? It did, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arizona's been, we've been pretty open. Throughout this entire COVID thing. Wrong or right, it seems to have worked down here, and it's the economy's doing well, which has been good. And you know, I think spring training, I think they did a nice job, you know, with the masks. We've had a mask mandate the whole time.
All right.
So I think that's helped, but you know, the restaurants have been open the whole time, and yeah, I don't know. We've been fortunate down here, and it's, you know, it's been sunny, and it hasn't been the same experience that, you know, some people have had where it's just bitter cold and stuck inside. And
Of the opinion, if you have your own job, you can elect to live where you want to. So within reason, right? So, you know, if that's
especially now, COVID changed everything.
Exactly.
Don't we can work for where we want to, right?
That's right. So what about any hidden gems, restaurant, cocktail bar wise in the Scottsdale area?
Let's see. I mean, you know, obviously in Old Town Scottsdale, which is kind of the mecca, you got to be careful in Scottsdale too. Everybody, when you rent that house or get that great VRBO, I'm like, I can't believe this place is amazing. You got to be careful. Scottsdale can be a 40-minute drive. It's really long and narrow. So you can get stuck way, way, way up North Scottsdale, which is absolutely beautiful. But if you're trying to come down where you want a little more lively, a little more, you want the bars and restaurants, you know, you can have one hell of a drive, and so you can't have too many cocktails or you're going to have a $100 Uber ride.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, there's so many places, you know, here in Old Town. I mean, they're opening up. The sushi places are opening here. Like they're just left and right. We just got a STK, which they have in Vegas and New York, that just opened up here. We got Nobu just opened up here.
Oh, wow.
So like they're getting some of the high end big places, you know, as well. But Yeah.
It's a little place I'd love to visit there. You don't eat there. It's just a drinking spot. It's like the last stop of the night. Is it the Broken Spur? Does that sound right?
The Rusty Spur.
The Rusty Spur. Yeah.
Yeah.
That place is always a good time for sure.
Yeah. There's lots of little cool, drinking holes here.
And all right, so Pete, I know you got to go. Thanks for your time. But before we let you go, I can't get away. We all know what week it is. You got any picks for the week?
I'm kind of boring. I mean, I love watching Dustin Johnson smash the ball. I mean, he's interesting. I sat here just the other day, and you could see I've got the TV on in the background, and they were yesterday in particular. They're running over like, you know, past winners and, you know, showing the rounds. And I like watching Phil. It's just so exciting and just knows how to play that course. So yeah, I don't have any dark horses this year. I've been slammed with all these damn green books. I've jumped in a couple of the pools, and I'm a little nervous to jump in this year because it's just donating.
Yeah, yeah, very well could be.
I want to hear your pick. Then help me out. I haven't had my chance yet.
Well, so my one and done, I did enter Pat Mayo's Major Series One and Done League. I went for Paul Casey this week. So, you know, he always plays the course really well. Recent form's been fantastic. So, you know, and it's a one and done, right? And he's running it through the Masters, and it'll end in the PGA. It'll end with the British Open, I guess. So, I went Paul Casey. So we'll see how he does. Dan's pretty bullish on JT this week. So,
Yeah, top three going to be Bryson, JT. And top four, I guess you say Bryson, DJ, JT, and Spieth are kind of like the guys everybody's talking about. Yeah. I took JT because of what he did at the Players was just insane. So, yeah, I mean, the guy's striking the ball so well right now. I think it's the year of JT. Yep.
So
all I know is that I'm already looking forward to that couch on Sunday.
I am too.
Sitting around the buddies, sipping some cocktails and just watching some amazing golf, and hopefully it's close down the stretch. Like, hopefully it's like that UCLA Gonzaga game on Saturday night.
Exactly.
Yeah, we shall see. Yeah, either way, it's going to be great golf, and looking forward to it. Glad they're getting to play it when they intended to play it. Got some patrons in the field this week, so really really excited to see. Spring has arrived. Pete Charleston with Golf Logics, it's been a pleasure, sir. Where can people find you? How do they get a hold of these green books, sir?
So go into your pro shop, first of all, and ask them if they have them. And if they don't, you know, tell them to please reach out to us, because we did send samples to every single golf course that we have done. So every golf course in this country they have three samples sitting in their pro shop. So maybe they have to dig them out, dust them off, and, you know, if any of your listeners come in, and, you know, hopefully they're the first people to get out there and use them. And if that doesn't work out, they can go on golflogics.com. We've got an e-commerce site, and you know, they can actually search. And as a matter of fact, we do have a master sale running this week, which we only do one or two sales a year, and this is, and it's Masters20 is the coupon code there. And they can go in and for just this week they can get 20% off.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. So Masters20 at Golf Logics. That's logics with an X.com. Get your greens books. Check them out, man. Great stuff here. Pete, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it, sir. Yeah.
Enjoyed it. Look forward to getting back on again.
Absolutely. Awesome. Cheers.
Awesome. Cheers.